110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Thursday, December 29th, 2022. And we are just a little bit under around 2 days till Ohio State and Georgia play in the semifinals of the college football playoffs come up here on Saturday on New Year's Eve. So obviously a big game to look forward to. We will hit that here in the second part of the episode. Basically tonight, we just kind of wanted to talk about the playoffs. And so we'll start with the other game as our arch rival, those bastards from up north, Michigan and TCU square off in the Fiesta Bowl at 4 o'clock PM. I believe it's four, right?
Yeah, it's 4 and 8 are the two kickoff times.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, the last I saw Michigan's, 7.5. So a little bit over a touchdown favorite, against TCU.
Yeah. According to ESPN, they're still 7.5.
So everybody, you assume here that, you know, Michigan's a strong favorite. Obviously, they're undefeated. They've had a good season, beat us at the end of the year. Everybody's mindsets is you're going to think that Michigan probably should easily win this game, I would think, and probably in a lot of people's heads. But, you know, TCU is a very, very good team. I think it's going to be, it's a type of style that even though, you know, Michigan plays in the Big Ten, there are teams that might play similar styles to TCU, but nobody runs TCU's offense like TCU does in this conference. So it's going to be a little bit, I think, of a challenge for Michigan. They have with Duggan, they got a quarterback that could really challenge them with his feet and through the air. They have an excellent receiving core, and unlike Ohio State, you know, in the last game of the season, I don't think TCU is going to be really afraid to try to challenge Michigan down the field with those receivers. So it'll be definitely, you know, I definitely think, you know, Michigan should win, but, you know, TCU is just, you can't assume that they're out of any game. These are the two best second half teams pretty much in football. And, you know, it'd be very interesting. I think we'd see if this game is close in the first half or whatever, you know, what TCU possibly looks like coming in the second half.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think TCU's kind of been that team of destiny this year that they always find out a way to pull it out in the second half, whereas Michigan kind of just like strangles people in the second half, you know, chokes them out. That's kind of interesting to see how that plays out there. I'm just looking at some stats here. I mean, Michigan's defense is a lot better than TCU's. That's for sure. TCU gives up about 150 yards per game on the ground also, which, Michigan is very good at running the ball, as everyone knows.
So whoever has it, they're pretty good at.
Yeah. Here's where I feel about it. Like, TCU keeps itself in the game like they have all year. Even no one's been able just to like choke them out. I mean, they only lost one game. They were getting their asses kicked in that game, and they found a way to, you know, tie it, get it to overtime, and lost by 3, right? In the Big 12 championship game. Yeah. I think TCU can hang in there. I'm very hopeful of that. And I think that they, with Duggan and their big receiver whose name escapes me right now. I think it's the Quentin Johnson. Yes. Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. So, which a lot of people say he might be wide receiver 1 in the draft. I'm confident with them. Will Johnson for Michigan's really good. So I don't think he's going to be following him the whole game, though. So between him and DJ Turner, you know, there are good players on Michigan that's going to be going up against him. I just think he's going to win a couple of those battles where I don't know how their rushing defense is going to hold up, though. That's where my concern is if they can't pull away. It's kind of got to be the same formula that we talked about Ohio State, and Ohio State didn't need to do that to Michigan. That was their best path to, you know, victory, was get up a couple scores early in the first half, make JJ McCarthy pass it, air it out on you, and you should win being ahead, that you can keep them from, you know, being able to take the game over on the ground. So, I mean, that's still the path to success. I don't know if TCU is good enough to do that, but that's what they need to do, is they need to score, you know, two touchdowns on their first three drives and get the ball back from Michigan, limiting Michigan to only 3 to 7 points.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I think the one thing that obviously, I mean, the way I'm definitely leaning with this game is that as much as I do like TCU, and we've actually watched TCU quite a bit this year because they've been on a lot. So, I mean, I've had them on different times, so I've watched them a lot. They're on Big 12 offense, and, you know, and the joke is always, you know, you want to say, you know, never assume that somebody is out of the game until the end of the game. The difference is when they get into these types of games, and we've seen this with their better teams, the Oklahomas of the world, when they've gotten into these playoff games, they've been very outmatched. And it's like, and it's kind of like they don't, it's because they're never really forced to play defense. And then when they're forced to play defense, and they get outmatched. And I just, that's the way I'm leaning in this one, that, you know, they've not played a power football game like Michigan, and, you know, Michigan is going to put them in a game, especially if the game starts getting, you know, if TCU starts, you know, really being able to move the ball in the second half. I mean, I really see Michigan trying to just put them, you know, take that touch away from them by, you know, just slowing the game so much, and that TCU just loses all their rhythm. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I think it's going to play out. And, you know, and I just think Michigan will probably be too much for him at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't see this being a game where JJ McCarthy is going to throw for like 300 something yards and just light TCU up with, you know, his arm. I kind of think you and I are on the same mindset here. I think it's going to be a game in the first half, but I think ultimately Michigan's going to lean on its line. It's going to lean on Donovan Edwards. And in the second half, they're just going to kind of like choke out TCU. I think that's where my head's at with this, is that their run game is going to take over in the second half, and TCU just is going to get worn down and won't be physical enough to hang around with them and be able to stop the run.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I think if Michigan does not get out of their typical mindset, they should be fine in this game. The only where I would start getting a little nervous for them is just that, you know, if TCU does start really pushing them in the second half, and they kind of think that they're going to get into, you know, they want to try to score with TCU, and, you know, play that game where they should try to slow the game down and reestablish, you know, control the clock and stuff like that. You know, if Harbaugh, you know, we kind of saw him, you know, prior to, you know, the last couple seasons, when he gets a little bit, you know, when Michigan, you know, when you think back to kind of like the 18-19 Ohio State games, like when they would get out of their, you know, those games started off pretty even. And then once Ohio State kind of started pushing out in front, then, you know, Michigan makes some really weird decisions and, you know, like try to play like Ohio State's football, the Ohio State game with them, where, you know, the last couple of years, they obviously try to play their own game and stay within their selves throughout the whole game. And obviously it worked a lot better. So that would be my one thing. Does, you know, Harbaugh kind of revert back to you know, those kind of mindsets when if he starts getting a little bit. But I think he's probably, he hasn't done that the last two seasons. So I got to assume like that, you know, if there's a part of this game where they start getting pushed that, you know, they will reestablish themselves and try to get back into Michigan football. And so probably the way that I just, that's the way I think that's going to happen. I see spots where TCU could start getting some momentum and stuff like that. And then, you know, Michigan kind of snuff it out in the next series when they get the ball back on offense. Kind of felt like it would, I think a lot of ways kind of feel like the last year's Ohio State Michigan game when, you know, Ohio State times where it felt like they could get back into the game in the second half and then Michigan go score in the next series because they would just run it right down their throats. And I think TCU is going to try to stop Michigan from running the ball. And I just don't know if they'll be capable of doing it. So like, I can just see that again, they start trying to get some momentum and shut it down. They will rely on that power offense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I agree with that. So with that being said, I think I'm going, Michigan's going to win this game. I'm going to say 35-24. So I'll say they cover.
Okay. I'm going to say they're going to cover too. I actually think it's going to be a little bit higher of a scoring game. I think Michigan will get somewhere because they'll get opportunities to get the ball because TCU is going to score on them. I think TCU will get the 31, but I think Michigan will probably be in that 42-45 range. I'll say 42-31. Michigan beats them. Okay. Actually 45, because I think Michigan will have a field goal in there. So I'll say 45-31. Michigan beats them.
Okay. So we're about the same range there, just different point totals. So okay. Now the big one, man, Peach Bowl.
Yeah, Peach Bowl. So, you know, this one's been, you know, as we've been on a little bit of a hiatus from the holiday hiatus from the show and stuff like that, you know, obviously internally between the two of us and through family members, we've been obviously going back and forth a lot with this game. There's game days I wake up and be like, you know what? Ohio State's got talent. They can play with, you saw what LSU did to Georgia's defense. They can play this team. They can beat this team. They have the same type of players. And then there's days you wake up and been like, you just think about that Michigan game and last year's Michigan game. And you're just like, yeah, they have the boys to be able to do it, but you know, do they have the heart? Do they have the mental toughness to do it? And that's just like,
do they have the cojones to do it?
Yeah. It's just like going back and forth between the two, just thought it's like, you know, yeah, there's days you wake up like real optimistic about it. And then there's days that you're kind of pessimistic about it. And it's like, so, I mean, I don't know like where I'm at right now or where I'll be Saturday. You know, I'm actually kind of, I'm kind of on the optimism train right now. I really do believe that. I'm not saying that they, and that's not saying at the end of the day they win it. I really do think this is going to be a much better game than at different times I've thought of that. And you know, I think that it's kind of like their backs are against the wall and they're going to come out fighting like a wild animal on that. And which I like, I just think that, you know, obviously in this game, I think there will be opportunities to run the ball against Georgia. But where I definitely think there's going to be opportunity is throwing the ball and, you know, attack that secondary and force them to pull as many guys out of the box as they have to and then come back at them, you know, maybe trying to come up with some running the ball and stuff like that. You know, I think they can exploit these defensive ends with running the ball. The defensive middle is going to be a lot harder, you know, so I think that's where, you know, the issue with running the ball is going to be. But you know, I don't think Georgia has played an offensive line as good as ours this year, neither. So, you know, that's the one thing I'm going to say right there is, you know, our offensive line, I feel, is better than Tennessee's. I feel it's better than Florida's. I feel it's better than LSU's. You know, they didn't play Bama this year. So that, you know, I think you know, they're in for a challenge too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's not going to be anything easy about this game. You got to play your best game to win. So, like, before I say anything else, you know, I want to preface any comment with that Ohio State needs to play their best game to win. But like you said, you know, offensive line, I think offensive lines are a wash in this game. But I mean, I think both guys like, you know, the team they're bringing with them. So we are going to be the best offensive line that they've seen. Now they're going to be the best defensive line, at least defensive tackles we've seen, though. And that's coming after Mozzie Smith, which we did not in any way dominate him. So, you know, that's when you got Jalen Carter staring at you, that's a different test. I rewatched the SEC championship game last week, and it's just kind of like, and a couple other games too. I think I rewatched the Kentucky game, or watched the Kentucky game. I never watched it the first time. But it's kind of like with Jalen Carter, man, it's not a question of if he's going to get his, it's when is he going to make his impact? So you just got to hope
how often
that's the biggest thing in this game is, you know, how often is he going to be able to make the impact? If you can mitigate it some, you got a chance. But, you know, if he's disrupting a play a drive, then you're screwed. I would personally, for a guy like him, if you can figure out a way to get tempo going in this game, you know, and you can't just run tempo every single play, but if you can get some going to try to wear him down and the other guys on the defensive line, I think that's huge for you. But you got to try it. I take Marvin Harrison over Kelee Ringo. I think he'll win more of those matchups than not. But again, they're probably going to bracket a safety over top of him. So you need a guy like a Emeka Egbuka really to step up, or a Julian Fleming, or something else, Cade Stover, whatever it is. You need something else in the pass game to step up, because you got to try your best to pull those safeties away from Mark. But even then, you got to give him, you got to take shots even when he's double teamed, because he's your best player.
I think probably the way I kind of would play it is, you know, I would obviously try to keep, I think Stroud does okay scrambling to make passes when he's under duress, but I wouldn't even let it get to duress, because, you know, you're going to have them coming right up the middle at you. You know, run some design balls and with like three receivers to one side, you go long with somebody, you go middle with somebody, and you have a Fleming and or a Stover short, and you force them to, you know, cover on layers and stuff like that. And, you know, you got to, you hit Marv deep when you can find him, you challenge him deep, you know, and same with the Buka, you know, you let these kids run down on them some, and, you know, let them try to cover them long. You know, they didn't do a great job against LSU with that. And you got better receivers than LSU do. You have a better quarterback than LSU does. And, you know, and with Stroud, is I've never been hard on Stroud for him not being a running quarterback. But, you know, this is the playoffs now, and I don't need you to be a running quarterback, but I need you to take the yard. You got to sometimes do things that are uncomfortable for you. And, you know, you got to play as a superhuman strength here. I mean, this is for the everything. So, you know, if they're going to give you 5 yards, you know, and there's nobody open down the field, take your 5 yards and, you know, see what the next play gives you. You know, if they're going to give you a first down, if they get you catch them in a man to man, and you got a 10 yards to run there and you can get out of bounds, well, go take your first down. And, you know, like another down and a whole nother series. Like, I mean, so I think that's the big thing is, you know, challenge them deep with your receivers. You got the best receivers that they're going to play the whole season. You know, I don't care what Tennessee has, you know, challenge them deep and, you know, and take your first down yards with your feet when you have to.
Yeah, or at least, you know, get to your check down quicker. I mean, I think that's a lot of what I only remember really one or two of them in the Michigan game, but it was like, it pissed me off so much watching it, because it was like he went to, you know, read one, read two, read three, and then like finally went to check down all the way over to the sideline. And like, there's a dude right on that dude's face. Like, why are you throwing it to him now? Like, you know, like, why you should have thrown it to him fucking, excuse me, 10 seconds ago. Like, so I don't know. I just be quicker with your decisions. It's like he waits and waits and waits and fits these balls into this small ass window that it's either an incompletion or, you know, an amazing catch. But man, there's gotta be more just higher efficiency plays out there.
Yeah.
Higher percentages. You know, check down quick.
Like when you think about him last, much better at throwing guys open. Like he kind of knew where they were going to be at, you know. And it seems like he's lost some of this. He's like, he wants that guaranteed OBN open.
I don't think he has the same comfort without Wilson, Olave, and JSN out there. I mean, those are three different receivers when it comes to route running.
But when you go down and you think about like that throw he made to Marv against Michigan, you know, he didn't think about it. He just, you know, when they say you're even, when we're even, I'm leaving, you know, they were even, and he threw it out there and Marv ran it down. And yeah, Marv had to make a dive, but you know, the guy is the most sure-handed guy on your team. So like,
yeah,
you know, do that more. You like throw it out there for him and let us see him go make some catches. And you know, I mean, he's the only unanimous wide receiver, first all team All-American we've had, you know, and we've had some really good receivers throughout the years. Like, well, the guy's a dude. He's a place for you. And, you know, I want to see them, you know, force them basically to have to team up and leave somebody wide open in the secondary, because I've seen teams try to double team him and they can't double team him. He basically catches everything. You know, if he's got somebody on it, throw it up high and let him go up and get it. When you're down in the red zone, you know, come up with plays for him. Like, you know, run. I've been saying this for the last how many weeks, you know, run some fade routes with him. Like, you know, just do things that give him the ball. And that's not bubble screens, you know, where he is effective is down the field. And, you know, if you're going to risk maybe a couple bubble screens early in the game to, you know, make Georgia see that, well, you better be coming up at some point in the game with having him fake as a blocker and going deep, you know, later in the game. So like,
right.
You know, so like, yeah, just, I don't care if the dude catches the ball 20 something times and has 300 yards receiving and that's all of our offense we can muster, that's probably enough to possibly win that game. So like, you know, challenge them with him.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Totally agree. Other side of the ball, I do think our defensive line, and I might be crazy here, I don't know, and they haven't given me a ton to be hopeful for, honestly, the last 2 years. Like, they haven't gotten pressure in big games. So I don't, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, talking too much with my heart right here, but I don't think Georgia's offensive line is going to get to the point where they're suffocating Ohio State's defensive line. I think Ohio State's defensive line is going to win a good amount of battles on Saturday. I really do. And it depends who's out there too. You know, like if Mike Hall is healthy, I mean, we saw what Mike Hall did, the games that he was in, the short amount of time that he got to play, what he did when he was healthy, man, he completely disrupted Notre Dame and Michigan State. Michigan State, he had 2.5 sacks on 7 snaps. I mean, that was just like, the guy can make plays. Tyleik Williams, if he can get in there, he can make plays. The ends, you know, I'm not scared with them. I think Georgia does have really good tackles, but I don't think that they are, and I don't think they're like first class elite tackles that they're going to win every single matchup against Harrison, Sawyer, and JTT. So I think we do have a good shot with our defensive line against their offensive line that we can make some stuff happen, to disrupt some plays for Stetson Bennett. How the hell you're going to guard Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington is beyond me. Yeah. That's a problem from Jaden Knowles. I know the three safety defense he runs matches up well against good tight end teams, but that's not That's
a different, it's a different beast.
Yeah, that's Darnell Washington is 6'8", 280 pounds, and he is a absolute freaking wall in the run game. I mean, think about that guy as a lead blocker. Like that's, yeah. It's just so, I mean, that's something else. You gotta figure out how to get around him to make a tackle, because he is an absolute just friggin' wall. And so that's, I mean, there's definitely things that they got to figure out.
There's one thing I wanted to throw out at you, just if you like, because I've been kind of thinking about this the last couple of days. Now, I know they're good running the ball, and I know they have good running backs.
Yeah, they're not elite.
Do you think that they don't seem like they're as good running the ball this year as they've been in years past? And I don't know if maybe they don't have the names on that side like they've had in years past. Like when you think about like Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and those guys. But like, and I know Milton's good. I know that they got some good guys there.
McIntosh is good. McIntosh is a really, really good pass catcher out of the backfield, though.
Yeah, it just seems like that they're maybe not as solid running the ball that they've been in years past. And so, like, I think that is something that that could be an advantage there for Ohio State. Is this is probably one of the better run defenses that they've played. That I still think Ohio State's, even with those last two runs that Michigan had, I still think that this is one of the best run defenses in the country. Mm-hmm. So I think that is an advantage for Ohio State. I think the things that kind of make me nervous though is like, especially when you talk about the tight ends, the one spot Ohio State's been really iffy with this year is getting quarterbacks that can move on the ground. And Stetson Bennett, he's nothing like, he's no wowser type of guy, but the dude somehow doesn't get sacked that easily. And,
No, he can move. He's elusive.
He scrambles. He makes people miss him. And he finds those tight ends. And that's the one thing where Ohio State's defense over the last several years, when they get a moving quarterback, and hell, even times when they don't get a moving quarterback, people get free in that secondary at times. And they're, because they get lost. And that's kind of like the one thing I'm like really nervous about. I kind of think that Ohio State probably really needs to go into this game that somebody's a spy on Stetson, and he starts moving and stuff. The spy has to come in, and everybody else just needs to stick with their players. That it's, whether that's the spy is, one of the safeties, or it's Steel Chambers or Cody Simon, that their responsibility is Stetson. And everybody else has a responsibility, and nobody. And if Steel Chambers misses Stetson Bennett, then, as the spy, then it's on him. But, everybody else has got to kind of stick with their people. And, whoever's spying him needs to be the one that takes him.
Well, I mean, that's going to actually bring me to a bigger point. That's going to go back to the Michigan game, is to win this game. I mean, you got to have trust on defense. You got to play your assignment, because, you can't discount, like, everyone says, like a lot of Buckeye fans, like, well, they only had five big plays in the game. You can't get rid of it. I mean, they had five big plays, and I understand that, it's true that was their whole offense, but it doesn't matter. It still happened. You lost the game. But those five big plays weren't five big plays that Michigan executed perfectly, and that's the reason why.
There's only one I can think of. I don't remember that third touchdown that well. I will give Michigan credit on their second touchdown. You have a safety.
But it was our backup safety. He shouldn't have even been in the game.
Yeah, but he was in there, and that was a good point. There was no way they should get the first touchdown. Just push the guy out of bounds. Like,
right.
They'll try to do anything crazy. The two running touchdowns, I mean, we went over those umpteen times, in the aftermath of that game, is that there was bad angles, no people not taking the right lane or the right gaps. I mean, I don't remember the third touchdown as much. I think it went to one of the tight ends, but
it was one of our safeties ran into the backfield, and he was the deep man, just like the guy on Cornelius Johnson. Is that his name? Johnson Green? I can't even. Johnson, right?
And, I think so.
Yeah. And all you had to do, I mean, you're the deepest man on the field. Like, you are the last line of defense. Like, you can't get caught peeking in the backfield and letting someone run by you. That's just,
I agree with that.
You got to keep backpedal, man. You got to keep that as the deepest part of the defense. You can't let anyone on the offense get by you. So they got to just, and that's, but that's the same stuff, you know, when it comes to getting those mobile quarterbacks down, is you got to play with some patience and some structure. It can't just be all freaking chaos. And, you know, you got to be able to not let the guy break contain on you. So
yeah,
whether that means that he stays upright and he gets a throw off in the pocket, whatever, at least he didn't get outside and just gain 20 on the ground on you. Cause I'm sure that's going to be a harder play for him to make under duress, trying to make a throw with you in his phase, than you just letting him get outside of you and no one's there to take him to the ground.
Yeah. And even though they throw kitchen sink blitzes and that, I think I'm pretty sure two of the three, you know, actual touchdown passes against Michigan is, you know, has got a scramble on it, and that he gets free from a blitzer and then he's able to, you know, throw a guy.
Yeah,
a guy.
I think so. Yeah.
And there's a couple other times in that game where he hit first downs because, you know, they missed him and, you know, he was able to scramble some and get it out. So, and you know, that's what you're going to face with Stetson. So like, you know, and that dude is, for whatever reason, it's like, you know, I mean, he is as pure of a college quarterback as there is college quarterbacks, but he's a gamer, and he somehow doesn't get sacked easily, and he makes unbelievable throws. So like, and you know, and if those two tight ends are running free, you know, because linebackers and safeties are running up to try to get Stetson down, then, you know, it's going to be a really bad,
yeah,
bad game for a while.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else defensively, really. I mean, it's going to be a tall task, both offensively and defensively. I mean, offensively, I take like Marvin over Ringo. I mean, Ringo's a hell of a player, so I'm not like, you know, trying to take anything away from them or anything. I think you got to be very strategic offensively. I think you got to move fast. And you got to get vertical. Like, you know, you can't be doing bubble screens. You
got to get vertical.
You can't be doing tosses. Like, none of that's helpful. You got to get vertical on these guys. Maybe the most horizontal you can go is like a jet sweep where the wide receiver is close behind the line of scrimmage, you know, and can turn right up past the tackle.
I think they also need to do more motions than they're used to.
You got to motion guys by Marv. That's like, you need to motion a guy over by Marv to make the safety there decide which guy he wants to take.
And maybe even motion Marv a little bit, just to come up with some different things that they've never seen. And like, you know, yeah, it's like they haven't motioned a lot this year at times. And yeah, I think they really need a motion. They need to do a lot of shifts. They just need to do whatever to keep Georgia a little bit off balance defensively. And they need to challenge them deep. And, you know, LSU challenged them deep. They got 500 something yards passing and they were looking good there for a stretch. You know, you are a better passing team than LSU. You have a better quarterback. You got better receivers. And like, I'm sorry that, you know, if they are able to get 500 yards, you should be able to match that through the air, the 500 something yards. And, you know,
well, you might not have to. Hopefully, who knows? Maybe you'll surprise everyone and run for 200 in this game. Doubt it, but maybe it happens.
There was times, but there was times Missouri looked pretty good running the ball. And like, you gotta be able to, you also gotta be really, you gotta be offensively very physical with these guys. Receivers, you got to block down the field. You got to hit these guys in the mouth. Same thing with the tight ends. Like, you know, if you're running the ball and he gets a seam and he's, you know, you got to throw that big block. And, you know, that big block, you might be able to get loose, you know,
right?
Channel the gods of Evan Spencer, you know, and take out two linebackers. Like,
yeah, no,
I know what that could be.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, we've seen that before. I mean, Scary Terry against Penn State took out three guys on one block. So yeah, you got to have stuff like that. You got to have that effort. And I know everyone was hurt at the end of the year, whatever, but we just didn't see that consistently at the end of the year. Like they would go, I mean, half speed, and I don't want to call anyone out, but like I was rewatching that, the Michigan game, and I can't remember whose breakdown it was. Might've actually been Zach Smith's. I can't remember, but, I think it was because he had pointed out, but Cade Stover on one of the, I think it was a Mayan Williams play. No, it might have been Chip. I don't know, but it was just like a toss or stretch run to the left or something. And Cade like was jogging. And I mean, there was so much green in front of the running back. All Cade had to do was move his butt to the line, you know, the second level to get his block, but he was jogging as the lead blocker and the running back couldn't get going. So he had like an 8 yard gain because of it, but he should have had a 30 yard gain because Cade should have just ran the whole way, blown up his assignment. And that running back would have been free to go, but because he had to wait for Cade to get out of his way, you know? Yeah. So it's just, and I get it, man. Everyone's hurt, but man, you got to dig deep. You got to dig deep in games like these,
you know, and that's like just quickly, you know, going off of that is like, there's been times this year, both in the passing game and in the running game, you know, they're not getting the ball and they're like taking their sweet time. You know, like if it's a running play and you know, the corner's got you up man to man, run really fast by him just to pull the guy out of the play. like you don't know what that means. That could be an extra 10 yards for a running back if they get it through the line of scrimmage. If you know the passing play, you know that you're not the primary receiver in a passing play. Well, so what? Like,
right.
You know, try to run a safety off. I mean, that could be a touchdown, like, you know, just by getting a safety out of the middle of the field. And if an Abuka or a Fleming or a Stouffer, if they have a step on somebody, well, nobody's in front of them now. And, you know, that could be six for them. So like, you know, get these, I mean, there's more to it than just you getting the ball. I mean, yeah, sometimes you're the decoy and, you know, so you got to be the decoy.
Yeah. And that's been an area of weakness this year is guys aren't doing much on the perimeter when they don't have the ball in their hand. And that's really like, that's something that has to improve because they got to give maximum effort on every play. Like you said, like if you're not going to knock a guy over at the line, you know, if it's a run play as a run blocker, then run your ass by him. Like at least do something full speed. So he thinks it's a pass play and he goes with you. And that gives that running back an extra lane there because that cornerback now has his back to him or, you know, just whatever, just do something hard. Cause yeah, it's, and that's why stuff like this is why I'm like feeling less and less optimistic about this game is because it's just there's so much we've seen in the last 2 years that it just feels like it can't get fixed for this game, whether it be effort like that, mental errors, play calling lapses. Just I mean, how many drives in the last 2 years have been killed when we're actually moving the ball great because we went tempo because one of our tackles jumped off sides or had a false start?
Too many.
I mean, think, could you couldn't count them on these two hands. You need more hands to do it. So
yeah,
and that stuff like that worries me because this is essentially, well, I think Ohio State will show out for this game fan wise. So I don't think it's going to be like a home game for Georgia, but it's probably going to be what, 65-35, 70-30.
Well, it sounds like Ohio State has sold their slotman pass and they're doing pretty good in the secondary market. A lot of people are going to Columbus when you hear or going to Atlanta from, you know, up north when you hear about the different air travel thing. Now, can some of them get there? I mean, that's a whole different
that's story a different question.
But that's renting cars and stuff. So hopefully there's enough cars to be rented because I know a lot of people haven't had, you know, their flights have been all over the map. So they've rented cars.
Well, most of the Atlanta flights, aren't they going to be Southwest? Because isn't that the hub?
Well, I mean, Delta is the big hub for.
Okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking
Atlanta.
Of.
So, but, you know, there is definitely a lot of Southwest that heads down that way. But, you know, Atlanta is the big hub. Delta is the big hub.
Okay.
That's their main hub. So, you know, I probably Delta flights are okay going to Atlanta, but it seems like Southwest is not.
No, they're stellar. Not.
But yeah, that's that's a whole different thing. But no, I actually think it's probably going to feel more like. I think it's going to feel probably more like the 14 Sugar Bowl. I think it will probably be fairly even.
I think it'll probably be a 55-45 split in favor of Georgia.
Well, that would be nice if we represented that.
I think that's what some people said. It was like more like 55%. Some people said it was more like 60%. So I think it's probably going to be in that range, like the 14 Sugar Bowl. And the difference between those two games is there is a larger Ohio State alumni base in the Atlanta area than there is in the New Orleans area. So, you know, there are locals because Atlanta is such a big transient city. There are actual Ohio State people that live in the Georgia area. And, you know, and especially in the Florida area, it's, you know, if you think about it, it's not that hard for a lot of Ohio State people live in the Tampa, Orlando area. It's not that hard for them to get up to, you know, Atlanta. And so, you know, I think that is going to be that will probably be not that big of a deal. But there, if, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if they start looking like crap, I mean, it will feel like a home game regardless.
Right.
You know? And if one of these teams blow out the other team, it's going to feel like it's a home game in there for the team's fans that are there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's another thing that kind of worries me is they've played twice in Mercedes-Benz this year. And that was the two games that they scored, you know, 49 and 50 points. So they look very good. It was their first game of the season and their last game of the season. And they looked very good in both of them.
Yeah. Now it's definitely like what you said, it's going to be a tall task and stuff, but all right, let's go through who we think the players of the games are. If you want to throw out any, I mean, I don't think we have to do any, like, you know, if you want to throw out maybe, you know, something, a bold prediction or whatever. I mean, but let's just do players of the games and then maybe one bold prediction.
Okay.
And then, we'll do the score.
All right. Offensive player of the game for me, I think, I mean, you almost got to say if it's receiver, it's going to be CJ Stroud, but I'm going to say Emeka Egbuka, even though Marv is the best player and you got to target him like crazy, but I think Georgia's going to try to be creative to take him away, try to be delayed on their approach to take him away. So I think Egbuka's really got to step up in this game, and he usually does. So I think he's up for the task, and I think he'll have a really big game and he'll be player of the game.
Yeah. I want to say Marv, and the thing is, you know, I think what they do need to kind of do is, you know, yeah, Georgia is going to be very creative on that thing. So you got to kind of, be creative back at them. And, you know, so, you know, the only times they ever overload a side with three wide receivers is when they're throwing those bumper screens. How about we overload the side of the receivers, just, you know, force other guys to cover people and, you know, maybe get Marv on, get Marv on single coverage that way, or overload the side and put Marv all by himself on the other side. And, you know, and if they go with double coverage that one side, well, somebody should be open then on your overloaded side. You know, I'd like to see them challenge teams more by putting a fourth receiver in it more in times in this game. You know, let's get Ballard in there and let's, you know, it's okay to take the tight end out every now and then. I know they like to run 11 personnel and 12 personnel and stuff like that. I'm not saying that you don't have to do that for the primary of the game, but every now and then let's go with a fourth wide receiver and, let's see how Georgia plays that. So I think it'll be Marv. I think he's going to have a big game, you know, and I think he's going to be double covered most of the game, but the dude basically catches everything he does. So, you know, don't be afraid to throw up 50-50 balls with him, Stroud, or throw some back corner stuff. I mean, CJ is a very accurate quarterback, so be very accurate where this guy can catch the ball and, you know, and let him make the plays for you. You just get it out there and then let him be the playmaker.
No, I agree with that. Defensive player of the game. I think I'm just going to have to go with who I feel is the most talented guy on the team, JTT. I think he's got to be disruptive. I think he'll have an opportunity. Again, I think their tackles are good. I don't think they're like first class elite. I think they lost some, you know, from what they lost from their line last year. And I could be completely wrong. I might have just watched the wrong games when I looked at it, but I don't think that, you know, they're first class guys. So I think he can get some pressures, get some sacks, take over kind of, hopefully kind of what he did, have a chance like he did in that Penn State game.
Yeah. I think that's a good pick. I'm going to go Zach Harrison for this one. I think that, a lot like what you're saying with Tuamala, that, you know, these guys have to be very, very destructive against, you know, Stetson Bennett. And I think regardless of which one, whoever's there first is probably not going to get him just the way Stetson. The second one there has to get him. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, I would try to pinch him as much as possible between the two of them, you know, get him, you know, have one of them push him to the other side and then the other one clean it up. And, you know, and that's how I would try to play him and, you know, try to hit him as much as possible. And, you know, obviously don't be getting a bunch of personal fouls and stuff like that, but, right. you know, try to be there when he throws the ball or not throw the ball and, you know, make him feel it. And, you know, so, and I think Zach Harrison, you know, he's been, I think, very good this year. And I think that, you know, these are the two, possibly definitely the biggest game of his career, possibly the two biggest games of his career, if they can get through this one. And, you know, let's finish your career on a good note. And, you know, let's be what seems like when, you know, we always say that this guy seems like he should be a nobody. He really does seem like he should be a nobody. Let's let the Buckeyes be the team and make it look like he's a nobody. So, you know, get to him and put him down.
Very good. Bold prediction. I'm going to say, and I don't even know how bold this is, but CJ Stroud's going to have three passes that are going to go over 40 yards. That's pretty bold, actually. Yeah. So yeah, three passes over 40 yards.
Yeah, I would. The good one, I'd just keep challenging him down the field. I mean, that's a big one. I think my bold prediction is, and I don't know if it's going to be a fumble or an interception, but Ohio State is going to get the biggest touchdown of the year is going to be their final touchdown, and it will be
a defensive game. Is it a defensive touchdown?
It'd be a defensive touchdown. And
man, I hope so. That'll be big.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going with. And I'll give you my score here in a second, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So is it my turn to give a score?
Yep. Unless you want, I'll go first since I kind of threw it.
He kind of gave it away.
I'm going to say Ohio State's going to win the game. I'm going to say 38-31. Georgia is going to get the ball and they're going to, you know, all they need is a field goal and he's going to get a sack for a fumble touchdown. That's my bold prediction. Or he's going to throw a pick six and that's going to be the game right there. And that's the win.
I hope so.
Bold prediction.
Okay. So I don't know if I want to make a prediction with my head or my heart because they're telling me two different scores right now. What my eyes have seen and what I believe can happen are two different things. But any smart bettor goes with their heart. And so I am going to say Ohio State will win this game 42-38. I guess that means Georgia's going to be up 38-35 at some point, but I think Ohio State will, that's what I'm going with. 42-38. Georgia forever kicks themselves in the ass for kicking that field goal instead of going for a touchdown.
Ohio State could be up 42-31 though. And maybe it's the Buckeyes holding it off.
That's true. I didn't think of that. That'd be exciting, man. If they were up 42-31, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of think about it. We were up 42-28 against Bama. And
that's true. Okay. I could talk myself into that.
All right. So, you know, obviously a big one. I, you know, we both think Ohio State will win.
You know, they're capable of winning. Like I said, they got a, you know, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of Ohio State, I think, fans that are still a little bit blind and saying that they're not physically tough after the Michigan game. I think they're physically tough enough to play with any of these teams, you know, but the one are they mentally tough to do it? This is it's a tall task.
Yeah.
You said that earlier, you know, the last two teams that won the national championship for us, you know, those were teams that had a lot of mental toughness because they had a lot of adversity, you know, is that loss to Michigan? And I know they lost to Michigan last year and they said all the good, right stuff for the whole year, but that was the last loss now, this last time. So does that build some sort of mental toughness in them that, you know, now they want this and they want this revenge? And I think that's where it comes down to. You know, Kirby Smart said it the day after they were picked into this, that, you know, these are kids that they recruited to at Georgia. Mm-hmm. They know how talented they are. And so, you know, you can easily line up the field and play a game with Georgia. This is not a, you know, this is not a tall task in that type of sense that, you know, this should be two heavyweights throwing big body blows at each other. And you almost would think that this should go down to the end of the game, whether it's a defensive game or an offensive game. Like, but there's just like, there shouldn't be that thing in the back of their head. You know, if this is a blowout, it's only going to be a blowout one way. And, you know, I don't like feeling that way. That, you
know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But you got to be able to get punched in the mouth and swing back. I mean, yeah,
they got to prove that too. That's the best fighters. You know, you can't have a glass jaw. You got to throw you get into a punching match like that. You got to start throwing blows to yourself. And, you know, that was the 2014 team. They got into a big boxing fight with Alabama and they threw blows also. And both teams looked like they were ready to die at the end of that game. And, you know,
that's a great game.
And, you know, that's the type of effort you need. Again, you need to be throwing, you know, figurative, not real, you know, G Scott, no real blows here. You know, these got to be figurative.
He's a good kid. Come on. He made a bad mistake, but
I know. But still.
But I will let everyone know that we're not all just homers and everything. My 3-year-old has said like 100 straight times that Georgia is going to win this game. So he may be the smartest one of all of us.
I don't know what that trader is thinking right now, but I was telling our parents earlier that he was lucky he said that after Christmas.
Every single day I go, is Ohio State going to win? He goes, no, Georgia. I'm like, son of a gun. All right. You ready to get out?
I think we should get on out.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.